Hello, hello, and thank you for tuning in to this episode of Wild Virginia Virtual Coffee Talk. I'm your host, Katie, and as we close the doors on the 2024 General Assembly and Legislative Session, we did receive some bad news. For example, Senate Bill 455, which would have established a wildlife corridor grant fund. We received unfortunate news on that one. However, we are keeping the momentum up. And so today we have Wild Virginia Conservation Director on the line, and he's going to talk about some of the PFAS bills. PFAS is one of Wild Virginia's newest campaigns, so we have a ton of content on our site regarding the subject, regarding the issues that it causes for both humans and wildlife. And so, again, Dave, thanks so much for joining me. I love having you on the podcast. You're a wealth of knowledge on all of these water issues that we're working on, so thanks for joining me.
Sure. Always happy to talk about this stuff.
Yeah. So I believe there are a couple of PFAS bills that we were a part of. So let's kind of dive into what all of those entailed.
We were involved. We had a really good working relationship with Delegate Razul from the Roanoke area, who started with a bill on PFAS. It included a number of important provisions to require monitoring, especially for some of the possible sources of PFAS, like permitted discharges of wastewater from municipal plants or industries that would get into our streams, to stop some of those threats from being created, but also looking at drinking water supplies. So there were a number of good provisions there. There was an identical bill that was originally introduced in the Senate by Senator McPike. So we'll give both of those folks great credit for working with us. As we entered the General Assembly session, both of those were going forward, and we ended up having some amendments. Some other folks got involved. And although it took us a while to get to a point where we were really comfortable with the amended versions of both bills, we did eventually support them. The one thing that we were disappointed in is that they did not include some of that source monitoring requirement for some of those wastewater permit facilities. But they do include some important things like public water systems, the ones who supply our drinking water all over the state. They are required to take data that they collect that show a significant amount of PFAS in drinking water to report that to the state. And then the state undertakes a procedure or a process to then try to figure out where the sources are and how to address those. So that's an important part of it. And we're in favor of that. The other thing that happened is that, or the other thing that's included still in the bills that eventually got taken forward, is to create what's called the PFAS Expert Advisory Committee. So that's folks who really understand the technical and scientific aspects of the problem, and they can deliberate on other things that we should do going forward. The eventual bills that went through the House and the Senate, again from Senator McPike, Delegate Razul, have now gotten through both houses, have been signed by the President of the Senate and of the House. So the next step is just for those to go to the governor's desk, and we're quite hopeful that they'll get signed by the governor, because the administration came along and decided that they were in favor of the eventual bills also.
Well, and that's some exciting news. And honestly, I mean, monitoring, I mean, that seems like it makes sense here, right? And so I do have a question, though, on this sort of technical committee. Since PFAS, I mean, in media, it's kind of a new, and it's not a new issue, but it's growing with media attention. And right. So for some of these technical folks, what do their backgrounds look like in terms of, you know, academics and things like that? Like, what have they specialized in to know the PFAS issue very well?
Sure. Well, there are a range of different disciplines that can be involved. I mean, toxicologists, people just who understand how different chemicals affect our bodies or the bodies of wildlife that might be affected. People who understand, who are experts in water quality or experts in wastewater treatment or drinking water treatment, who know how these substances are going to act when they're being discharged into a stream or a wetland or whatever. People who understand how we might be able to remove them, because there are a number of different ways that we might be able to treat the water to take them out so that we eliminate or reduce the risk. So there are a number of different kind of disciplines. Obviously, people with medical backgrounds, people who know more about, you know, how they're going to affect us, how they're going to affect bodies. So there's a range of folks, and that's why it's important to have kind of a regular group that can get together and trade off information about those kinds of issues.
Well, that's really exciting. And so I know that while Virginia will have some content coming out here in the near future about, you know, from a homeowner's perspective, what kind of water filtration systems actually take out PFAS. And so is there a timeline for when some of these bills are going to get to the governor's desk and potentially be signed?
They should get there anytime. I think the legislature has already passed a block of bills. I think I read 70 of them to the governor's desk. This should go sometime pretty soon, we hope. Unfortunately, you can never totally predict what's going to happen through the legislative process because there are lots of moving parts. But yeah, any time now, we hope. Then I believe that the actual provisions would go into effect probably July 1st. There's a little bit of a lag time before the requirements actually take effect. But yes, we're very hopeful that this will set in motion some important changes. I will say that, you know, some of those parts that we hoped that would be in there, we're not going to stop working towards those. And in fact, one of the big things about Wild Virginia's PFAS campaign is that while we focused on general policy and legislation, we're even more focused on those things that our state officials can do now, because they already have significant responsibilities and authority under state and federal law. Specifically, any of these wastewater discharges that I mentioned before, DEQ already should be seeking data on those places where they know that a discharger is releasing PFAS into the environment. They have a responsibility to require treatment to stop it. The legislation was to back up, the original legislation was to back up some of those authorities or to kind of reinforce it. But we're not going to stop insisting that the DEQ actually step up now and do those things that it can. And, you know, one of the principles of our approach is let's not wait till it shows up in our water supplies. Let's not wait till it shows up in wildlife or in the stream. Let's go back upstream, if you will, and figure out how it's getting there and stop it. The fact is that PFAS, as we're learning, is throughout our society. It's in the environment. It's in so many products. It's even in our bodies in many cases. So it's a big problem, but it just makes the most sense to latch onto those things that we can do right now. And the thing that I always say is to people is don't be discouraged by the fact that it's a big, big problem. Think about that we do have tools right now, and let's take advantage of those and enforce those. And that can help kind of give people hope that we're moving forward.
Got it. And yeah, so even if, you know, these particular bills that we're discussing today don't go through, that we do have these tools at our disposal. And, you know, for listeners who are not on our listserv, I encourage you to go to wildvirginia.org, sign up for our email list so you can stay in the know about, one, how these bills, you know, pan out, but also, you know, what you can do even if they don't. For your family to you know, mitigate your exposure, and also, you know, how Virginia Wildlife is doing. And so with that, you know, we're all about mobilizing citizens. So what can folks do, you know, right now regarding our PFAS or any water issue that we work on?
Right. Well, again, they need to follow us, make sure that they're getting our notices. And what we're doing is we're picking specific facilities around the state that have wastewater discharges. Some of them, we know there's PFAS included in those discharges. Some of them, because of the evidence we have, there's a very high certainty that it's there. And again, we're involved in public comment periods or public comment opportunities for those permitted facilities to tell DEQ, for this individual facility, you need to acknowledge the concerns and the problems, and you need to put conditions in this permit to control it. And so by doing that on specific places, we're hoping to change DEQ's basically way of doing business in these permitting situations. When we start getting correct permits, then that should continue. And so, for example, we were heavily involved in a permit situation in Roanoke for the large wastewater plant there. That opportunity to comment was important, and a lot of folks chimed in and helped with that. But we're going to do others around the state. For example, there's one in Hampton Roads. We've been involved in some facilities down in Hopewell and other places. So people just look out for those opportunities. Obviously, if it's in your community, in your backyard, definitely take advantage of that. But overall, as I say, if we get it fixed in Hampton Roads or we get it fixed in some other part of the state, then that's going to benefit you wherever you are, because we need to change the system under which they regulate these facilities.
Well, and that's a scary thought. And that's, you know, why I love bringing so much attention to this issue, because I mean, residents, I mean, do they even know if they live near a facility? And, you know, it doesn't really matter if you live in Virginia, if you drink water, or if you play in water or do any of these things, like it's all connected. But yeah. I mean, that's why bringing awareness to this issue is just so incredibly important.
Again, most people don't know where their wastewater goes, what streams it goes into anyway. And again, if it has PFAS or doesn't have PFAS, they're probably not going to know that. One of the sad things is that, again, DEQ has not been requiring these dischargers to sample for it. We know that some facilities have it because we've asked them and they've given us data. But we're right now doing kind of a comprehensive search for data from these discharge facilities all over the state. So that's one thing that Wild Virginia is taking on. We believe that DEQ should have done that themselves, but they haven't. And so we're just going to do it. And we're going to share that information with folks also. So you'll know if the discharger, if the wastewater plant or the industry in your upstream from where you like to swim and fish has this stuff, or if they've even bothered to do any monitoring. So we're going to help you figure that out.
Well, and that's why we're here. We are the truth tellers. We're here to hold our state agencies accountable. And so, Dave, thanks so much for joining us to, you know, one, talk about PFAS, talk about these bills, talk about what citizens should be aware of. But I wanted to offer you space. Do you have any closing thoughts?
No, just, I mean, one of the things, again, that people need to realize, the legislative system, the regulatory systems, they can feel kind of daunting to get involved in. They can be frustrating. But just realize that's one of the things that we specialize in at Wild Virginia, both being involved directly, but also helping you know what role you can play. And that's why it's so helpful and so important for you to keep in touch with us, because you don't have to be an expert to file comments or to let your legislator know what's going on and what you care about. You just have to be a person who cares about the environment, who uses water, and you have an interest and you have a voice that matters. So never feel like you don't have a role in helping make these decisions, because you're probably the most important part of it.
Wonderful. Well, thanks again, Dave. Thanks for everyone listening. Be sure to like and follow our podcast, follow us on social media, and to join our email list, you can visit www.wildvirginia.org.